Bruchim Aboyim, everybody. Welcome back as we start the Ezras Hashem brand new series on the Midah and the Avoida of Bitochen Bashem. This is, of course, very timely because we are now here in Eretz Yisrael. The year of Tovshin Pei Beis is the Shnas HaShmitah, and we feel it very much in the air. We are aware of the halachas, but it's paramount also that we connect not only to the halachics of Shvius, but also to the specific Avoidas Hashem of Shmitah. And the Avoidas Hashem of Shmitah, as we're about to discuss, and perhaps tonight will be more of an introduction, is very much the inyan of Bitochen Bashem. As the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LiYisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, Ziru Sheish, plant the land for six years. Vehishmitu Sheva, but leave it fallow in the seventh. Why? Kedei Sheteidu, in order that you shall know Shehaoretz Shelihi, that the Oretz belongs to me. And of course, this is really based on a Gemara, on a Pasuk. The Torah writes, Ki li kol haoretz, with specific reference to the mitzvah of Shemitah. And indeed, the Sefer Achinuch in Mitzvah Pei Dalet, when he talks about the mitzvah of Shemitah and says, what in fact is the inyan of the mitzvah of Shemitah, he says, in order that you should know that all of the peiros, all of the fruit and the tevua that is grown from the land, you should know, is loy b'koycha v'skulasa. Don't think it comes automatically, b'koyach rather, ki yesh odoin oleha. Rather, there is a master over it, va'al adoineho. And in fact, there's a master over its master. The baal hasodeh is in fact not the boss. The boss is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And the Kli Yakor, if you look in the beginning of Parashas Bahar, he discusses this at greater length. And he explains as follows. Klal Yisrael initially lived, sojourned for 40 years in the Midbar. All of their sustenance, whether it be their food, the mon, the water from the Be'er, all came to them b'derech neis. When your food comes to you b'derech neis, there of course exists no chashash whatsoever that anybody would convince or trick or delude themselves that they have any part to play in this. If you wake up in the morning and you see mon outside your front doorstep, you know exactly where that came from. Says the Kli Yakor, when Klal Yisrael arrived in Eretz Yisrael, as the Torah tells us in Parashas Bahar, that the mitzvah of Shemitah is Negea in Eretz Yisrael, when Klal Yisrael arrive in Eretz Yisrael, suddenly everything changes. There's no more mon, there's no more Be'er Shel Miriam, and for the first time in their history, Klal Yisrael now have to work the land, and as it were, produce their own tevua. Together with that comes an enormous concern. And the concern is, as the Kli Yakor writes, that they might convince themselves that this is all koichi va'oitzem yodi. Look what I have produced. Look what I have grown. One second. Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the picture? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was overwhelmingly clear in the picture as long as Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar, but they're no longer there. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore, as the Kli Yakor writes, he presents us with a mitzvah lahashrish in order to deep root in us b'midas ho'emuna v'habitochein b'Hashem. Lest anybody make the grave mistake of thinking that they are the ones who produce the tvur and they are the source of their own parnasa, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every so often, once in 7 years, you will remind yourself that parnasa comes min hashamayim. And the proof will be that you will leave your field fallow and you will have no less parnasa. In fact, you'll have more. 3 years of parnasa will suddenly come your way. And all of that, says the Kliyoka is in order to allay this chashash of people thinking upon entering of Eretz Yisrael that it's my doing. So the Kliyoka has clearly spelled out for all, and of course this is what the Gemara and this is what the Rishonim meant, that this is really what Shmita is all about. Shmita is to remind ourselves, to be mashrish in ourselves, the midah of emuna and bitochein b'Hashem. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and He runs everybody's life, and He runs my life. This, by the way, could never have been more topical than it is now. Because not only are we, as mentioned, in the year of Shmita, but if Corona, which is very much not behind us, if Corona taught us anything, it taught us this. That all of the various koichos that to one extent or another we had bitochin in, overnight dissipated. To an extent, we all have and must have an element of bitochin, for example, in the medical system and in medical professionals. We have to have bitochin in them. If we're not confident in their skills and their knowledge, then why would we seek their advice? All of a sudden, those very doctors whom I would share my closest secrets with, whom I would rely on and trust, had to stand up themselves and admit that we had no idea how to tackle Corona. We don't know what caused it, we don't know how to treat it. Only recently, we recently had a forum for Rabbonim when it came prior to Yom Kippur. And of course, the big question was, how do you deal with questions of those who ask, I've got Corona, I've got symptoms of Corona, I'm recovering from Corona, must I fast, can I fast on Yom Kippur? And this forum was held with a number of Rabbonim and two very senior medical doctors. And one of them offered a brief introduction. He said, I must be honest, a year and a half or so into Corona, we still cannot say with any element of certainty what fasting will do. We don't have any precedent, we don't have any statistics, we don't have any background, we have no knowledge in this area. And of course, the halachic ramifications thereof was left to the Rabbonim. But the doctors themselves admitted that we have no knowledge of this. So our bitochin, in our roifim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was calling out to us that don't forget, there is one Roifei Chol Basar. There is one Roifei Chole Amo Yisrael. For those who are still perhaps Boiteach in the media, if that exists, people who admit to believing in communication and in newspapers and in other sources of communication, all of that evaporated overnight. When so much of the media was proven to be distorted and biased in their reporting and their assessment of Corona. Those who were boiteach in governments and politicians, that also evaporated overnight when once again many governments were proven to have agendas and biased. So therefore the midah of bitochin b'Kodesh Baruch Hu could never have been more timely. Not only is it the year of Shmita, but above that, above else, we've seen in Corona that really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has been teaching us during this year and a half is trust me and no one else. There is only one source. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Roifei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mefarnes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mechaye. This is the Avoida, both of the year of Shmita, and I think we can say the period that we're in, Corona. To study and to talk about Bitochen B'Kodesh Baruch Hu is a very, very easy project. It's very easy to talk about Bitochen. To live Bitochen is an altogether different proposition. There are a couple of people who are not on mute. If we can just ask everybody please to mute, so there shouldn't be any background disturbance. There is a famous story with a Kovner Rav, Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, the Pesach Adoyer, pre-war Europe, in which in Kovner it was reported that the wealthiest Jew in Kovner, who had all of his wealth invested in 10 large boats, where all of his merchandise was packed and stored, all of his 10 boats sank. Such that the wealthiest man in Kovner overnight had just now become the poorest man in Kovner. And in time-honored tradition, it was the Rav who was honored in reporting the news to him. They told the Kovner Rav, you better be the one to tell him the news. How is anybody going to break this to him? So the Kovner Rav summons in this once upon a time wealthy individual, and he says to him, listen, I need your help. I want to run a campaign in town on Emunah and Bitochen. And I want to try and be mechazik this inyan, and I want to tell people how important it is to realize that everything comes from Shemayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And however bleak things can look, but we always have to need to be beiteach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, the problem is, he said, you are a wealthy businessman. I'm just the Rav. If people hear this from you, I think this will make much more of an impression than it will if they hear it from me. If they hear it from you, a wealthy individual who's been so successful in business, and people hear you say that Parnasa is not our doing, and it all comes from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and it depends on how much you are boiteach on him, that will really influence people. So I really need your help to run this campaign. Fine, no problem, how can I help? So Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan said, well, for an example, I know, everybody knows, you have 10 boats sailing. Imagine I would tell you two of them have just sunk. How would you react? Big gulp, gasp of breath, four, two out of 10, 20% of my fortune. I'm not sure if I can handle that, to be honest. So the Kovner Rav, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, sits down with him and they study for several hours, the Chivas Halvavas, Shara Bitochin. And after that he says to him, tell me, if now I would tell you that two of your boats had sunk, how would you react? And he said, I could take it, I'd be Mischazik in Bitochin, and I know that everything is Latoy, even if I don't understand. So the Rav says to him, tell me, what happens if I would tell you that five of your 10 boats have sunk? So five, that's 50%. Yeah, but we've just studied a lot of Shara Bitochin. No, I need further chizuk. And they spend a number of days delving into the inyonim of Bitochin until such point where the individual says to the Rav, I think I could take it now. Even if you tell me that five of my 10 boats have gone, I could take it. And so on and so forth. And eventually the Rav says to him, tell me, in theory, if I would tell you that all 10 boats have sunk, how would you handle that? It's all 10! That would be too difficult for me to take. And they spend further hours and days until this person finally convinces himself he really has reached a very lofty level of bitachon b'Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rav says to him again, if I would tell you that all 10 boats have sunk, how would you take that? And he said, I think I could take it. I think I could take it now. Upon which the Rav takes out of his pocket this telegram that says, in fact, that his 10 boats have sunk. And he shows this telegram to this individual, and on the spot he faints, passes out. And after they manage to revive him, the Rav says to him, the Kovner Rav says, I don't understand, we spent days and weeks studying the Inyan of Bitochen, and you told me that if I said to you that all 10 boats had sunk, you'd be able to live with that. And I told you and you passed out on the spot. What happened to you? And he said to him, I told you I was able to live with it. Well, that was only as long as I thought that the boats were actually sailing. But now that you tell me that they really have sunk, that's an altogether different proposition. In other words, Rabbi Yisai, it's very easy to study Bitochin. And it's even easier to talk about it. But when the tests come, those inevitable nisyonis of life That's really when the Midah of Bitochen is there for the test. You know, I have an uncle in London who was a Rav of a shul for many, many years, Rabbi Fine. And he told me once, and perhaps this sounds comical, but I think perhaps we can all connect to this story. He told me that as a senior Rav in what's called the United Synagogue in England, he once met a junior rabbi, a Rav who had been appointed relatively recently, and he said to him, "Tell me, how are you getting along in the rabbinate?" So he said to my uncle, "I must tell you," he said, "it's very difficult." He said, "Oh no, have you fallen out with your community already?" He says, no, that's everything, that's going fine, but the difficulty is they don't pay me very well. And I'm very, very worried what's going to be in the future, and how am I going to have parnosa, and how am I going to provide for my family's needs, and how am I going to marry off my children? I'm very, very worried. That's the difficulty that I'm contending with. So my uncle said to him, he said, "Excuse me, don't mind if I ask you, don't you give shiurim in your shul on bitochen b'kodesh baruch hu? You lecture on this topic, don't you?" And he turned around to my uncle and he looked at him and he said, "Yes, Rabbi Fine, but this is Lemaisa." And to an extent, perhaps we're all a little bit guilty of that. To study, to learn, to talk about Bitochen is a very gallant project and easy to do. But when it actually comes Lemaisa, that's the true test. That's the true test. You know, there is a frightening story with a Kloisenberger Rebbe, the Heiliger Zanzer Rebbe. Every story about him is really frightening. A man who lost his wife and 11 children in the Holocaust and yet came to Eretz Yisrael and rebuilt his own life and the lives of his Hasidim. But the story is told that when he was in the camps in Auschwitz, on one Yom Kippur they attempted to daven. Can you imagine a Yom Kippur davening in Auschwitz? There were no sidurim or no machzerim, but the Rebbe said, "I know the davening baal peh. Come with me, we'll daven together." And when it came to the Al-Chaitz, the Rebbe announced in a loud voice, "We're now going to go through together the Al-Chaitz from beginning to end, Aleph to Tov." And the Rebbe began with the first Al-Chaitz, Aleph. Al-Chaitz shechotanu lefonecho, and he said in a loud voice, "Rabbeinu Shalom, this doesn't apply to us. Who had koyach here in the camps to sin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Sin against the Rabbeinu Shalom doesn't apply. Next. Al-Chayt Shechotonu Lefonecho Be'imutz Halev. We closed our hearts, we didn't give tzedakah. Doesn't apply to us," said the Rebbe. Tzedakah, who had any tzedakah to give here in the camps? One by one, the Rebbe made his way through the Al-Chaitz. We stole, there was nothing to steal. We spoke Lashon Hara, who has koyach to talk Lashon Hara? It's not relevant. Doesn't apply to us. Until you get to the very end. Al-Chaitz, Shechotonu Lefonecho, Besimoin Levov, Aleph Tetov. So what does that mean? We're off free. Said the Rebbe, "My dear friends, all of these al-chaits perhaps don't apply to us, but there's one avera for which we all perhaps have to bang al-chait. Al-chait that we lost our bitochen here in Auschwitz. We might not have stolen or eaten macholos asuros, or not given tzedakah, we might not be guilty of that, but did we retain our bitochen v'kodesh baruch hu? Here in Auschwitz, Gehenna on earth, did we constantly feel that we really were in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Or did we give up hope? Did we come to a situation where we began questioning whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu really is running the show after all? Well, in which case, we really do have to bang Al-Chait." The Rebbe was teaching them and us that the true test of Bitochen is indeed when it's Lemaisa, not when it's just in the realms of theory. And this Rabbeisa is therefore going to become our project over these coming months, Be'ezas Hashem Yisborach, in the year of Shemitah, during the Tkufa of Corona, to try and learn the message of the Shemitah, the message of Corona, which is to be mischazik in the inyan of Bitochen Bakadosh Baruch Hu. The Kli Yoker that we mentioned before said that Klal Yisrael initially were in the Midbar and they were receiving Mon every day. But then they came to Eretz Yisrael and they're not receiving Mon. And if they're not receiving Mon, there's a big Chashash. And the Chashash is that they might forget about the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their life. I think we've recounted the story on many occasions, but it's such a phenomenal story that it's worth recounting. Whoever's on the phone line is not on mute. If we could just ask everybody to please be muted, there shouldn't be background disturbance. The story that I heard from Rabbi Zev Lev Shlita, he illustrated with a very, very frightening story the following point when he asked, if we're discussing the Mon, why is the Mon considered to be a tremendous bracha? Klal Yisrael was zoicha to the Mon. That's a zechus? That's a zechus? To go to bed at night and to have to stare at an empty fridge? And to have no idea whether you're going to have Mon, breakfast, lunch, or supper tomorrow, that's considered a zechus, a brocha? And what about what we just read last week? The Nochosh gets the klala from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam that everything you taste, everything you eat, will be like offal. That will be your food. That's a klala? The Nochosh's fridge is always full. Wherever he goes, he has food. So there seems to be a bit of a reversal over here. Klal Yisrael with Mon, day by day, empty fridge, no way of knowing or storing food for tomorrow, that's considered a bracha, and the Nochosh, who has food forever, wherever, that's considered to be a klala. So Reb Zev Lev explained with the following story, a frightening story. And he tells the story of the young man who approaches him and he says, Rabbi, I need to speak to you because I'm in such a difficult situation. I'm considering suicide. I'm literally suicidal. He says, why so? So he tells Reb Lev, he says, I'll tell you. A number of years ago, my mother unfortunately passed away and I lived at home together with my father. Me and my father, we had a great relationship together. Until recently, my father called me in one day and he says, listen, I have good news for you. The good news is I've, Baruch Hashem, found a new Eza Kenegzoi, a new wife with whom I'm hoping to rebuild my life. And we're going to get married soon. He said, there's one problem. My new wife has insisted that we really do begin a brand new chapter, clean slate. She doesn't want anybody else at home. It will complicate matters. We want to look forward, not backwards. And therefore she's requested, and I've agreed to her request, that my dear son, you're going to have to leave home. But don't worry, says the father, I'm not abandoning you. And he takes out of his pocket his credit card. And he says, this credit card is from now on yours, and you can use it whenever you want. For any amount. You do not need to ask my permission. In fact, I'm asking you, please do not ask my permission. And out of another pocket, he takes a set of car keys and says, the car that's parked outside the front drive is now yours. Plus an envelope, by the way, here, $50,000 for spending. He says, do me a favor though, please don't come back home, it will just complicate my marriage. And off he goes. And he tells Reb Lev, he says, in the beginning, you couldn't believe it. Here I've got $50,000 spending money. I'm driving around this fancy car, unlimited spending on a credit card. It's too good to be true. But it really was too good to be true. Because after a while, he tells Reb Lev, every time I swiped this credit card, it was another reminder that I've been thrown out of my father's home and he doesn't want a relationship with me. Every time. Every time I swiped that card, whether I bought clothes or food or a house or a holiday, whatever it may be, is another reminder. Time and time and time again, your father doesn't want a relationship with you. And eventually he said, I couldn't even bring myself to swipe that card anymore. I slipped into such a severe depression and I'm on the verge of suicide. So Reb Zev Lef, with his great sense of humor, says in the story, he says, I told him, hey, I'm here to help you, give me the credit card. But either way, Reb Lef says, I learned a tremendous lesson from over here. The Nochosh received the credit card of the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Nochosh never needs and is never able to turn to the Rabbeinu Shalom and feel that connection with him. Wherever you go, you've got food. This is the credit card of the Rabbeinu Shalom. Do me a favor, just don't come back to me. That indeed is the greatest klala. There's plenty of food, but he doesn't feel that he's in the hands of the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, the Gemara asks this. Why indeed did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring Mon on a daily basis? Couldn't he have brought it all in one lump sum in the beginning of 40 years and it would last until the end of their sojourn there? Says the Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have done that, but then they wouldn't have needed to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu anymore. So you've just received a credit card, expiry date, 40 years time. You have no connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is not a bracha. The bracha is to receive mon on a daily basis, so that you feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of you. You feel that you have an address. You feel you have a connection, a relationship with Avinu Shebashomayim. That is the most wonderful, serene feeling. That is a tremendous bracha. That's a tremendous bracha. As Klal Yisrael are about to enter Eretz Yisrael, the Torah writes in Parshas Ekev, don't make a mistake. Eretz Yisrael is not like Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim had the Nile, but Eretz Yisrael doesn't. Rather, Limtar HaShomayim Tishvemayim. We all know, those who live here in Eretz Yisrael, occasionally we have great difficulties with rainfall. On occasions we have to add an extra tefillah even in Shema Kolenu to daven for rain. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not like that in Boni Mitzrayim. Isn't that a strange way to bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael? Surely you'd want to praise, compliment, build up Eretz Yisrael. And what are you saying? No, it's not like Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim have the Nile. And the answer is, Rabbi Yisrael, Mitzrayim had the credit card of the Rabbeinu Shalom. Who needs to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for rainfall where you have a constant water supply in the Nile? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have good news for you. In Eretz Yisrael, it's not like that. In Eretz Yisrael, you have a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the land where Einei Hashem Aleikecha Tomid, the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, special Hashkoch in Eretz Yisrael, where you feel connected to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what Bitochen is all about. Bitochen is about building a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu such that you feel that you are in good hands at all times. Yes, when it's lemaisa. Yes, when it's not easy. I have an address. There is a boss who is taking good care of my life. That's what we're going to discuss when we talk about the Midah of Bitochen. Our project, Be'ezus Hashem, will be based, although not text-based, but it will be primarily based on the Sefer of Chovos HaAvavos. Reb Chaim Brisker describes the Chovos HaAvavos Shaar HaBitochen, and this is our Shulchan Aruch of Bitochen. But let me just, before we begin next week, perhaps, with the Chovos HaAvavos, those who want to have a Chovos HaAvavos in front of them are very welcome. But let me just finish, perhaps, with a closing thought. We daven every day, we might not notice, but we daven every single day of our lives that we should be zeicha to be balei bitochin. Ala tzadikim v'ala chasidim, those who are b'teach b'kodesh baruch, and we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'sim chalkeinu imohem lo'ilom. Let our chelek be with them. We also want to be balei bitochin. V'loi neivosh, so that we should not be embarrassed. Ki b'chor b'tochnu, because we are b'teach in you. It only recently hit me and occurred to me. What do these words mean? We want to be b'teach in HaKadosh Baruch Hu so that we shall not be embarrassed. Why is somebody without b'tochen going to be embarrassed? Maybe if you don't keep Shabbos properly, you should be embarrassed. If you don't learn Torah the way you should be embarrassed. Why is somebody who doesn't have b'tochen going to be embarrassed? And I'd like, perhaps, in closing, just to illustrate this with a moshel. Everybody can think of their own moshel. But the moshel that occurred to me was the following. Two very close friends, Reuven and Shimon. And Reuven has his only daughter, and she's about to get married. And Reuven says to Shimon, his closest friend, obviously, I want to invite you to the wedding. My only daughter is getting married shortly. I need you to be there. I'm so excited to be able to share this occasion and dance with you at my only daughter's wedding. And he says to Shimon, Shimon, this is going to be the wedding of the year. You have never seen a chasna like this. I've invested so much energy and time and effort and money to plan every single detail. Every detail. This is going to be a wedding of all weddings. He said, not only that, I've taken the most fancy schmancy hall where there is a hall manager, but I've hired on top of that another manager to make sure that absolutely every detail is taken care of. This is an occasion you don't want to miss. Vayehi hayoim, it comes to the great day, and indeed Shimon arrives at the hall, and indeed it's a breathtaking sight. He's never seen a hall. He's never seen a band. He's never seen flowers. He's never seen food like this. It really indeed looks like every detail has been planned and prepared and thought about. Unbelievable sight. It comes now to the grand moment, the chuppah, an announcement over the system. Please, would everybody please leave the hall and step outside for the chuppah. And Shimon follows the crowd, makes his way outside the hall, and all of a sudden, he notices that all the lights and all the air conditioning suddenly have just switched off in the hall. Everything's pitch dark in the hall. And he starts gesturing wildly to Reuven. Reuven, Reuven, look what's happened in you in the hall. And Reuven seems to be there in a different planet, in the clouds. And he tries to wave to Reuven. Look what happened. And Reuven just seems to be calm and fine. Shimon feels so bad for Reuven. The great chasna, we're all going to be sitting in the pitch dark, no air conditioning. Shimon runs back into the hall. Where's the manager? Where's the manager? Silence. Okay, I've got to take the law into my own hands. He opens up the great big electricity box there. There's a million buttons and dials and levers. He's got no idea. He starts flicking switches ups and downs, and there's a spark and there's a bang, and he doesn't know what he's doing. He's not an electrician. And before he knows it, he's caused a whole explosion there. There's a fire erupts. Smoke's pouring out. The police and the fire, the brigade are called. And meanwhile, the chuppah finishes. Everybody makes their way back into the hall. And the whole hall is full of smoke. And Reuven is going, what's happened over here? And Shimon says to him, well, I'm sorry. I tried to help out. You know, there was a power cut. And I flicked a few switches and there was a fire. He said, there was no power cut. He said, there was, you didn't see. I tried to wave to you, I tried to gesture to you, and you just seemed to ignore me. He said, there was no power cut. I arranged this with the hall manager. I wanted everybody outside the hall. I didn't want anybody inside during the chuppah. It was all planned. There was no power cut. I told you that everything was planned. I told you that I'd hired a hall manager. Who asked you to get involved? Who asked you to run around like a headless chicken? You've now ruined my whole wedding. can't believe it. He says, I'm so embarrassed. It's true. I forgot. You told me. You told me you'd hired a hall manager. I didn't realize that everything, including the lights going out during the chuppah, even that was taken care of. I couldn't understand. It didn't make sense. He says, Shkoyach, you've now ruined my only daughter's wedding. This is what this bracha means. When we face a situation, yes, when it's lemaisa, and we run round like a headless chicken, and we forget that there's a manager. We forget that everything is ordained, divinely ordained. There's a whole manager in our lives. Every detail has been taken care of. Why is the lights off and why is the air conditioning out? I do know, I don't know, but it's all been planned. It's all part of the great master plan. And if I run around oblivious to it, there cannot be a greater busha than that. When one day the picture will become clear and I'll understand, I'll finally understand every little piece in my life's puzzle, and I'll look back with such busha. Why did I forget that there was a hall manager? Why did I run around like a headless chicken? So concerned, so worried, and I forgot that I have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I forgot that He is the address, He's the Reife, He's the Mechaya, He's the Mechalkel. That's what we're davening for every day in our lives. V'loi nevosh ki b'cha b'tochno. Because if we don't have bitochen, then one day there will be no greater busha when we realize that we've forgotten there was a hall manager. When it's lemaisa, when perhaps things don't make sense, even in Auschwitz, the Rebbe was teaching them. There too, make sure you don't lose your bitochen. And remember, even in Gehenna on earth, that there's a manager. And everything is preordained. And it's all for our best. Whether we feel it or understand it, doesn't make a difference. We're in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's hands. Like the young baby who's always calm. He may on occasion be in pain, but when he's hungry, food arrives. When he's tired, put into his cot. Whatever he needs is taken care of. That's what Bitochen is all about. To feel that there's a manager. To feel that every part of my life, without exception, is all preordained. There's a master who's planning constantly. That's what Bitochen is all about. As mentioned, the Chodesh Halvavos will be our base. Be'ezus Hashem, we should be zeicha to hatzloch in our project. V'simcha l'keinu imoim lo'ilom v'loi nevosh ki v'cho b'tochnu. I wish us all, Be'ezus Hashem, we should be zeicha to siyata d'shmaya, to indeed become, during the Shnas HaShmita, greater Balei Bitochen.